Hi there, Idaho Matters podcast listeners. We've been noticing lately that a lot of you listen to the show in podcast form, and I really want to say thank you for that. And we think it's great, and we actually want to know you a little bit better. So will you do me a favor? I'm hoping you'll fill out a survey. Just go to boisestatepublicradio.org/podcast survey. The reason why we're doing this is we want to make a case that podcasts need to keep happening here on Boise State Public Radio. So again, go to boisestatepublicradio.org/podcast survey and take that survey. Thanks so much. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. A Waldorf education is based on an innovative school that started in Germany 100 years ago. The idea behind a Waldorf school is a sense of equity and social responsibility and being open to all children, stretching across a wide range of grades and involving teachers in school governance. And an underlying all education instruction is a threefold model of human development that children grow in their capacities to will, to feel, and to think. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this educational approach are Peace Valley Charter School's principal, Andrew Ross, fifth grade teacher, Janine Mulla, and Ruth Buckland, also a teacher. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So first, just tell me a little bit more about the Waldorf concept, because it's kind of newer to Idaho, right, Andrew?
It is. So we are the second Waldorf public charter school here within the state of Idaho. And so we started here our first year, started off as a K-6 school. We're going to be growing over the next few years to a K-8 school. And as it relates to Waldorf, it is new to the public sector over the last 15 to 20 years. And that's kind of been the big shift within the education movement within Waldorf is to, as you mentioned, the word equity, to really have more opportunity for Waldorf education to live within the public model, since it's been within this country, primarily within the private model for a number of years. But there's been a significant shift within that over the last 15 to 20 years. And so we're excited to be able to bring that here to Idaho with this school.
So talk to me about what makes this Waldorf philosophy unique. And Janine, maybe I'll start with you, because you still have to do the basics. I mean, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, science, all of that. Mm-hmm. But there's this idea of incorporating the arts into every aspect of learning. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a very academic program, and we're able to give those deliver those academics through an artistic lens. So history, science, math, all of those subjects, we try to deliver them with developing artistic capacities. For example, history, we would do storytelling and illustration. Mm. Science, we would do actual activities with our hands, observation, and illustration as well. We do a lot of singing, we do a lot of poetry and speech work, and all of those activities work to improve and cultivate the critical thinking capacities of the child.
And Ruth, talk to me about what you teach at the school, because this is a very unique concept to Waldorf education.
It is particular to Waldorf education. It's called Eurythmy, and it is a movement art form, which the short way to describe it would be to say it renders speech and music visible. So I teach every child in the school, and what I do from preschool through sixth grade is I give children the opportunity to have really their birthright, that they can move freely in space in front of them, behind them, to either side, freely crossing their midlines, which is necessary for any child who needs to learn how to read, for example. Mm-hmm. And all the while that I'm doing that, I'm accompanied either by music or by poetry that I'm speaking. And so children are moving in time to music or to the cadence of speech and discovering pitch within themselves. They're learning all sorts of musical things and linguistic things, phonetic things. We have a highly codified set of gestures which actually reflects the very phonemes of our language. And so children are awakening to the basic structure of their language through movement and incidentally having a lot of fun doing it.
I'm speaking with Peace Valley Charter School's principal, Andrew Ross, and teachers Janine Mulla and Ruth Buckland. And Andrew, I want to talk about this threefold concept of to will, to feel, and to think. Because again, this is this Waldorf concept. So, I mean, I can understand the to feel and to think. What does that to will idea mean?
A lot of the focus within Waldorf is for sure recognizing what a lot of education models focus on is they consider to be the whole child. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty common phrase that you'll find within a mission statement or ultimately touted by any sort of educational platform. I truly believe that within the Waldorf model, which I will have as a very quick disclaimer here, is new to me. It's only over the last couple of years that I've been walking into this particular model and learning more. But the will is so much focused in on where the child is within what Janine was mentioning too about capacities and seeing where those various capacities can be spoken into. And a lot of that development, though those three different pieces can be developed across the years, the will is spoken into very much within the early childhood and being able to see how that is spoken into. And as the children develop, each of these particular folds are acknowledged but honored in a slightly different way. And I believe that, you know, Ruth or Janine could definitely speak to some of those things a little bit more, because I think that there's so much value in how the maturation of a child happens. And I believe that Waldorf really speaks to that well.
And Ruth, is some of that with the, when we talk about the will, is that kind of like some of the tactile ideas and things, things like that?
This is my point of departure. A lot of what we hear about will is actually on the negative pole. We talk about the willful child sometimes. But actually what we are doing through and through in this education is to enable children to have the core feeling that they can do something. Mm. There's no question that when you begin to do a drawing, there's no idea that they cannot do it. It's part of the water they swim in. So the capacities to do all of the work that will unfold before them are cultivated from the very beginning. And so will also comes into the idea of persevering through a task into its completion. So we try and imbue everything that we do with a sense of beauty and grace. Mm-hmm. And so It is satisfying to a child to complete something through to its most beautiful end, to not just copy down a text from the board, but to render it beautifully and to see, to have a main lesson book, for example, at the end of the day, that is something that they would like to open and share with another because they're proud of their work. That is the kind of will that we're cultivating.
Mm-hmm. And Janine, how do you see this in your students and in this environment, maybe versus a more traditional school environment?
For example, if I have them learn a long poem because we need to work on our speech sounds, I don't just have them read it, but I will say a line and they'll repeat it back to me every morning around the same time until they know it by heart. And then as they're starting to get that, I'll start to incorporate another poem. And that way, I feel like it kind of reflects a different part of the lesson, where if I'm having them do a writing assignment, they continue through their writing until they feel like they have completed it. They know what a sense of completion is. It's really beautiful.
And this is, are you in your first full year at Peace Valley Charter School this year?
Yeah.
And so being a charter school, it is public. But Andrew, you had mentioned that at least in the United States, so I know, you know, in the Seattle area, for example, there are many Waldorf schools. They've all historically been private.
Correct.
So why the push then to make it public? Is that to be able to incorporate every child?
Yes.
Ultimately, yes. I mean, in the end, you know, different pedagogy that exists in a particular private schools, it's wonderful to be able to have that opportunity to be able to kind of reach some of the things that you were mentioning too with the start of Waldorf of 100 years ago that Rudolf Steiner focused in on equity, that to really be able to focus in on equity, it still has the opportunity of equal opportunity. And so I've been a public educator for most of my career, and that's been a lot of my focus is being able to see how equity is truly honored in the way in which it is presented. And I believe that Waldorf education is really wanting to be able to see how that can be done in a way that does give great opportunity to students of varying, you know, wherever their journey is for families as they are wanting to enter into that.
Go ahead, Janine.
The education was originally designed, in my mind, to reach all sorts of children coming from all different economic backgrounds. And unfortunately, in the United States, it really did begin as a private education, but now we have this opportunity to bring it to everyone for free. And the education is, it's rich, it runs deep. The children study and learn to work hard and create beauty in the world, like Ruth was saying. Mm-hmm. And we can bring this to more children now that we're able to expand into the public sphere. Mm. And it's absolutely beautiful. I'm moving from private into the public sphere right now, and it's been an absolute joy this year.
And there is a high measure of rigor involved. And I think that you can speak to some of that as well as a fifth grade teacher. There's a lot of families that do come to the Waldorf approach because of the beauty that's involved. They see some of the natural elements that Waldorf really kind of approaches, and they see that beauty component. But there's a lot that can come with the maturation of the child in what I consider to be a much more honorable way, to where so often right now we're looking at early childhood readiness within kindergarten, where they need to be upon their, mm-hmm. their reading levels, their math levels. And what Waldorf, as a pedagogical approach, is really wanting to say, how do we truly mature the child in a way that once we do get to that point where these areas are more critical, if you will, mm-hmm. that we truly honor the child in their childhood to reach that point of maturity and hit a level of rigor that, mm-hmm. as we're getting into our third, fourth, and fifth grade, really hits a new level.
Yeah, it really does.
Oh, go ahead.
For example, in our classrooms, we have blackboards. We do not have whiteboards or TV screens. We try to be no tech or extremely low tech in our school. And this year, having children come from all sorts of backgrounds, many of them are coming from places where they did have those TV screens or computer screens in their room. And to hear them talk about how creepy it was to actually be in rooms with those things and how organic of an experience it is to watch an illustration appear on a chalkboard or see a teacher write on a chalkboard. The experience for them, in terms of what I've heard from their feedback, is a very whole and complete school experience.
And I have a question from a listener that I would like to get to, wanting to know if your student enrollment matches district demographics. And if it doesn't, what are you doing to prioritize low-income and minority students?
So we're kind of in an early onset as far as like with a lot of those particular demographics, mm-hmm. as a charter school. And so there's some additional analysis that we'll be doing that over the course of this summer, kind of looking at, we've had some, just a lot of charter schools, you have some measure of attrition. We've actually had a pretty good stability over the last 4.5-5 months within our enrollment. So as far as to match our area and within our attendance zone, it's definitely pretty close, but as far as to know those exact pieces, I don't have those in mm-hmm. front of us. As it relates to reaching a wider audience, we have done a lot with making sure that our applications that exist on our website are available in multiple languages to be able to complete. And so that's one key thing that we want to make sure that we honor. It's part of us being able to make sure that we do reach to the various demographics within Boise. Mm-hmm. I am new to Boise, and I am pronouncing it correctly.
I know. I'm impressed.
And as a part of that, I coming from Atlanta, was a very high refugee population in one of the schools that I was a part of, and I know that's something that is starting to shift here within this area. And so that's something that we're obviously wanting to make sure that we're reaching out to. We've actually made some connections with some other organizations in the area across platforms within our weaving that we do with our handwork, and being able to reach some of those mm-hmm. that also reach and touch into some of our refugee populations.
And that all goes back to the idea of the first Waldorf school about equity.
Correct.
Yes. So going back to that original mission.
Correct.
I want to thank all of you for coming in today, because it's also the middle of the school day. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
My guest today, Peace Valley Charter School's Principal Andrew Ross, and teachers Janine Mala and Ruth Buckland. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.